What's going on, Boiler Nation? It's Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. Happy spring, as it is the first official day of spring.
And sure as hell didn't feel like it today.
No, not at all. It was windier than windy up here in Fort Wayne. My gosh, it was windy. I bought a brand new Purdue flag, like a garden flag for our outdoor landscaping because our last one ripped. Bought it over the weekend. Two times a day it flew off. So after that, I picked it up after second time. I was like, oh, I'll put it back out tomorrow because I was lucky I found it second. Like, the first time it had barely flown away, got caught like on a bush. Second time it was clear on the opposite side of the house. I don't know how I found it. I just kind of went on for it. And I'm like, I'll do one quick around, look around the house. If I don't see it, then so be it. I got on sale anyways, but found it. But with all that said, Webby, how we doing? Let the madness begin.
Oh, man, I am nervous.
Purdue's fans nervous about March Madness? No.
Yeah. No. It wouldn't. I mean, not even like you can. I would like to say it's because of last year, but really it's just because of who I am as a person. I felt this way since I could remember March Madness, but this time of year. It's good to be in this position. Obviously, you know, your team plays all year to have the best opportunity to try and get to a Final Four, play themselves into it. And one of the best ways to do it is to get a one seed, and Purdue's done that the last 2 years, so it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I can't sum it up better than that. I mean, you know, everybody talks about all that matters is in March. No, everything else matters too, because then you put yourselves in the best place, best position possible, and that's what Purdue's done the last 2 years. And you know, I was even thinking about today, I'm like, man, part of me misses the days where there wasn't any pressure, like Matt's first tournament trip when we were in the 8-9 game against Arizona and then gave the champion Florida Gators all we wanted, or the following year with the Baby Boilers when we were a six seed, took down 11 seed Baylor. It's like those were kind of fun years when there was no pressure, but I still wouldn't trade this, even though it's pressure filled. It's been fun the last couple of years to be talked about a bunch. I remember growing up, I was like, oh man, maybe someday Purdue could be in a position where they're the lead story on Sports Center that night, or, you know, the lead topic on College Game Day. Well, they've been those things quite often the last couple of years.
Yeah. I remember in the 2016-2017 season when Purdue won like 19 straight. There was a thing on 17-18. Yeah. Sorry. There was a thing on like ESPN where it was like, and there was a cool little video. And it was like, you know, start out with like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to Purdue. I thought that was the coolest thing. Yeah. Ever. Like, man, we never see this. And, now it just feels like it's pretty, you know, it's not uncommon to see Purdue as the lead story, no matter what happens.
Cameron Day, anyone hear about Cam Allen's 40 yard dash? Did he run faster than a 5.9? I don't know what his time was off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure it was faster than a 5.9. Dick Stillwagon here on YouTube. Evan,
getting hot and heavy right away. Okay.
What are your thoughts on national sentiment against Purdue, and specifically Edie? Is it jealousy? Is it warranted? It's an ugly basketball. Obviously, he's a class act and a great kid. Take it away, Evan.
This thing pisses me off. It's like kind of what Dick says here. It's like part of the thing it is jealousy. I mean, I know we've kind of alluded, you know, I'm not sure if we talked about it online. I know we talked about it a couple, you know, probably about a month ago on the pod, where, you know, Purdue kind of has that reputation now of having one of the top teams in the country. Obviously the big elephant in the room is the March success, which we all are well aware of. But in terms of like the regular season, you know, Purdue's obviously been number one at some point in the last three seasons. It's, you know, talk of the Big Ten for the most part. So I think there's just that of just like, again, as we're used to a lot of other teams, like when a team is good for long enough, you eventually start to hate them. I know like for a while I was a big fan of the Chiefs. Sorry, Tanner. Like it was a cool story, but now I'm kind of tired of them just because it's just like, okay, let someone else have a turn. I think it's that. I think it's, you know, and going back to this kind of ugly basketball and Edie specific, which makes me mad because I love Zach. And if it's, what's one thing if a player is, you know, a jackass on the court or does things off the court and is still playing, no need to name any specifics, things like that. It's one thing, but when, I mean, we know Zach, you know, what we see as fans, you know, him staying after two and a half hours after game, signing every autograph he possibly can, taking pictures with people, you know, not acting like not acting like a jerk on the court. I mean, obviously he talks, but everybody talks on the court. He doesn't overtly complain to the officials like we see with a Coleman Hawkins, or I mean, heck, how we even see, like, I'm a big fan of her, but Caitlin Clark, she complains a lot to the officials. Nothing like that. I think it just comes to, like, obviously he's a big, and people, you know, that's not the way basketball's played, you know, in 2024. It's a guards game. It's a, you know, athletic wings game. But it's not like, what really makes me mad is, like, it's not like he's just a cement block in the post where all he does is just throw it to him. I think, like, that was more like last year. I think it's even going back to, you know, like an Isaac Haas. That's what Isaac Haas was. Like, he couldn't do anything outside of, you know, throw him the ball. If we got him in the wrong position, you know, it wasn't going to happen. Like, he couldn't really do much. He couldn't rebound outside of his territory or his area. I looked up his stats the other day because, again, this Edie conversation came up and it was pissing me off. But, like, I think Haas for his career averaged like 4 rebounds a game.
Like, yeah, like 4.8 or something.
And he was 7'2". Yeah, he was like 7'2". Mm-hmm. It's just the, you know, and it doesn't help when, like, you know, when the big game, when Purdue does lose or something, it's like when we've lost, it's been an ugly basketball game because the other team makes it ugly. Because if a team tries to play Purdue the way that in a normal basketball game, they lose. Look at Arizona, look at Marquette, look at Gonzaga. And so for a team to beat Purdue, they have to do things outside the box, which a lot of times just becomes just beat the hell out of them, dare the officials to call everything, which then turns into a slugfest and slows the game down, which it's not fun to watch. I mean, going into, I know we're going to talk about the Wisconsin game, but I mean, I didn't care about that game, but it was not a fun game to watch. Even Purdue had won that game, it wasn't fun just because it was just like, if, like, every time on the floor it was a stop, and it's like, it's not what Purdue fans want. Like, it's not fun to watch, you know, ref show and all that kind of stuff. And so I get that. I think, yeah, people are just, you know, obviously the what Purdue's done the last 3 years and just a national narrative around Purdue in March. So it's like when people, you know, are hyping up Purdue for the tournament, it's like, why should, like, they, I mean, I saw a TikTok the other day, yesterday, was like, you know, one of these TikToks going around of like, here's like how to pick your national champion. And it was like all these metrics. And then it got to like, you know, there's 3 teams that are going to win it. And the fourth one was Purdue. He's like, well, Purdue always chokes in March, so we can just remove them from the equation completely. So it's just stuff like that. I don't even know. I've kind of lost my way here because this thing just, you know, there's a whole Dan Le Batard thing about like how we play, which really pisses me off, which, like, this is the time of year where all these people who never watch college basketball act like they've watched, you know, they've watched 2 games and that's the thing. Or I hear these idiots on Barstool, you know, talk about, you know, again, Zach, because their team can't defend him, so they just have to hack a Shaq, which, again, going back to, like, I mean, it's exactly how Shaq played. And they did the exact same thing to him, like, where, you know, you couldn't stop him. So all you do is just beat the crap out of him and hope he misses free with him. He did. Or mm-hmm. Zach, he's going to hit him, you know, 70% of the time, give or take. So I think it's just a combination of all the above to say it is just like, I mean, we know like what this team can do. We're the most efficient offenses in the country. When the game's an actual basketball game, this team is really fun to watch with Braden Smith, you know, having the defense, you know, on a string. He's just out there working everybody, you know, Zach in the pick and roll, kicking out the shooters, bombing away. Like, it's a really fun team to watch, but I just feel like whenever people are noticing is when Purdue loses, which is in the game where it's not a basketball game anymore. It's just a football match.
Yeah, no.
If that really makes any sense.
No, really well said. Really well said. Ray Davis here on Facebook said he's a great example to any young player for what hard work will get
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. No, I mean, it's like it's – and I'm hoping, you know, Purdue can make a run. The national media can shed more light on the Zach Edey story, you know, what he's done, what he does, and the fact that – I mean, he wasn't a highly rated kid, like, and you know, especially in the day of NIL and all that kind of stuff. He easily could have put his name in the transfer portal last year and made stupid money. He could do it after this year if he wanted to. But you know, he's a kid. But it's nice school because he's not getting NIL because he's just some hot shot coming out of high school. Like, he literally, like, I mean, if you were to ask for NIL deal his freshman year, people would have been like, who are you? Like, you're gonna be the redshirt kid? Like, no, like, it's not gonna happen. But he's worked his ass off, and now he's, you know, again, the best player in college basketball for the second straight year.
I really think it comes down to, at least for a lot of opposing Big Ten fans, Purdue fatigue. Purdue was always, you know, for years. I mean, they've won more Big Ten titles than anybody in the history, 26. Mm-hmm. But I think for years it was like a Big Ten title here, Big Ten title there, besides the three-peat in the 90s. Now all of a sudden it's 2 Big Ten titles in a row. Could have been 3
every
pretty easily.
Every time we lose, the court storms.
Another one 2 years before that. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm not afraid to say it. The Big Ten runs through West Lafayette right now. Mm-hmm. And for years, it was through East Lansing, Madison, mm-hmm. and Columbus. I'm not throwing Champaign in there because they haven't won a Big Ten regular season since 05. They've won Big Ten tournaments, and kudos to them.
They did win one 2 year. They shared 2 years ago.
You're right. Yeah. Excuse me. They haven't won an outright title since 05.
Yes, correct. Yes.
Haven't made a Sweet 16 since 05. Another program that hasn't done much in March, but don't get the flack because they haven't been upset by double-digit seed three tournaments for all. Yeah. I mean, we hate it. We got to sit in it. We understand it. Yeah. So I think a lot of it just goes to produce success. And then, you know, I was trying to think.
I think it's just also player fatigue. I mean, we see it as Purdue fans with other teams. Like, I mean, like Davis, he was a great player. You know, I mean, thankfully Purdue was able to have some success against them. So like, it wasn't like as bad, but like, you know, had he beat us every single year, it'd be one thing. You know, Evan Turner was another one.
Evan Turner was about the worst I can ever remember.
It's just like, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, every time we touch him, we foul him, that sort of thing, which I totally get. But also, I mean, if you really watch Zach Edey, obviously we all know that he gets fouled way more often than he fouls someone else. But usually with a lot of those guys, they're so good that they leave early. Where, you know, he's a 4 year player. So I think that plays a part into it, of that he hasn't left yet. We've all seen it as, you know, as fans of other, you know, with Patrick Mahomes.
100%. I mean, I think, and I think guys of that caliber, and I think Zach has a little bit of this, they're the superstars of their sport. So they're going to get some calls. Probably not everybody else does. And it's just the first time we've ever seen it with Purdue. I mean, Carson Edwards, he had superstar charisma, but I wouldn't say he got a ton of foul calls because he was a shooter. He didn't. Yeah. I mean, he drove once in a while, but he wasn't like a, you know, a Terrence Shannon that every time he drives, he gets called and a call going his way into the line.
I mean, even Ivy didn't get those calls. I mean, you look at like, you know, the St. Peter's loss, he would constantly drive and would get fouled and wasn't called. Like, that was a little frustrating. Says here, Tyler Hansbrough of UNC, I love Psycho T. He was so much fun. We were a kid played, and so it probably wasn't the same as, you know, being an adult and seeing him, but I'm sure a lot of people in where's Duke located? I completely forgot the name.
Durham.
Durham. Sure, they're not a huge fan of him, but yeah, he was awesome.
Yep. So I understand it a little bit, but to the level it's been taken is unbelievable.
Yeah. And social media hasn't helped that. Just like
been the worst part.
Yeah. I mean, cause like, I mean, now it's like as ironic as to say this is two guys talking on a podcast, but podcast equipment is way too easily available for people. And it's just like, and we often get, and obviously, you know, there's a lot of these podcasts and obviously speaking directly to Barstool, you know, these guys are, you know, they're just like us, you know, there's guys who love sports and, are funny or are very entertaining. That's what I think people need to take. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's entertainment first. It's not, they're not, these are not experts as much as they, you know, want to talk about it. And obviously they have access, you know, than the average person would to, you know, people, but it's not like they're not former coaches. They're not, you know, former players at the time. And a lot of time people start taking their word as gospel just because they make them laugh all the time, which is great. I mean, obviously if it's entertainment, you know, do it, but I think it's just the rise of social media and just how toxic it can be. Just made it so like you can find a matching opinion anywhere and then just gets amplified because there's some people who obviously share the same opinion as you.
Yeah. Well, in Barstool, you got to admit, I mean, there's personalities I like there, personalities I don't like there. Some of their stuff I find entertaining, some I won't watch. Big Cat kind of increased it over the weekend. I amplified is what I was trying to say. Because he's a Wisconsin grad and we were playing Wisconsin and, you know, he was throwing fits and stuff. And then he made the statement, you know, Big Ten fans, thank God that's the last time we have to see Big Zach Edey play in a game refereed by Big Ten officials. That was the big,
which is hilarious because as if you pay attention, you know, there's no such thing as Big Ten officials because a lot of these guys are, you know, they probably work a lot of Big Ten leagues, but they work other conferences too. I mean, hell, Courtney Greenham was like doing the Horizon League a couple weeks ago, which is where he should. But this was another point.
So he, you know, and then you have Mark Titus. He's a voice of their college basketball, and he's grown up in a Hoosier household. He's not big on Purdue. He takes shots on Purdue when he can. He played at Ohio State. Ohio State. Take it for what it is. And then the guy who wrote the article that said Zach Edey games are unwatchable, he's actually a guy I like. He's one of their golf guys. He's a writer, but he's one of their four-play golf guys. And the headline was a little misleading, but it got me to click on it. And it basically he was basically saying that he doesn't enjoy watching Purdue games because of how it's officiated. He wasn't taking a jab at Edie's character or anything. I still feel like these guys
are only watching like the big ones that turns into a football match. It's like, you know, I mean, again, go watch the Arizona game from earlier this season. Like, that was such a fun game because it was a very free flowing game. You know, again, they wanted to play basketball. Arizona tried to play their game. It didn't work. But it was such a fun game.
Tennessee was not fun. That was not a fun game. Mm-hmm. It was a high scoring game because that game was fouls everywhere. Nobody could get in the flow.
Which part of the match is part of Tennessee's that they play aggressive defense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so does Northwestern. Matt Painter made a great point today on the JMV show, which if you haven't checked out, check that out tonight or tomorrow after you're done watching or listening to our podcast. He does a great job interviewing like he always does. And he was talking about Chris Collins. He didn't name Chris Collins. He says Northwestern coach, but he's talking about getting kicked out and complaining after the game about the foul margins and everything. And he said, well, one team leads the conference in fouls. The other team's last place in fouls. One team shoots a lot of free throws. The other team doesn't shoot a lot of free throws. One team shoots three-pointers more than the other team. Mm-hmm. He was pretty much saying everything he was complaining about, the stats were backing up a counter argument. Yep. So, it's just – and what Matt's worried about, and I think what Purdue fans are worried about when it comes to the NCAA tournament, you're more than likely to get officials that have never officiated Zach Edey before. Mm-hmm. How are they going to officiate him? That's the big clue. Because Painter said the thing with all his big guys, and in particular Zach, is he's always just wanted it officiated one way. Mm-hmm. Officiate it one way. Don't start the game one way and then shift as the game goes on. Adjust as the game goes on. He says that's what happens a lot in the tournament.
We've seen a ton where it's – I mean, even like the Wisconsin game at Mackey a week ago, you know, all game long, they were letting, I'm trying to remember what the play was. I think it was like all game long, they're let push off really easily. And then I think Blackwell did it again and got called for an offensive foul, which obviously it was an offensive foul. It was an offensive foul the entire game. They just weren't calling it. And then they called it in the last like 5 minutes and he got really mad. It's like, I don't blame him because it's, you know, the officials set the precedent early on that this was going to be allowed. And then when you do it, and you don't get, that's when it's just, that's what makes it frustrating. Just as from a fan standpoint, no matter what you're watching, it's just like, I'm not an expert, but you know, I did learn through a now NBA official. And like one of the big things he says, like, you know, if it's a foul at 19:55 in the game, it's a foul at 5 seconds left in the game. Like it's, you keep it consistent as best you can.
Yep. Absolutely. And we got over 100 of you watching live right now. We really appreciate it. If you haven't already, hit that like button, that follow button, that subscribe button, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube. We really appreciate all the support and the following. And subscribe on your favorite audio podcast platform as well. Ray Davis here on Facebook. Exactly. I tell my players, learn how they're going to officiate the game in the first couple minutes, then adjust. Mm-hmm. For everybody who doesn't know out there, Ray is the girls basketball coach at McConaughey High School. So does a great job with those ladies. So he knows what he's talking about. But yeah, it's a fascinating conversation around Zach Edey. I am so grateful he's a Boilermaker. Grateful we've got to watch him over these 4 years. Hopefully we have six more games to do it. Mm-hmm. He's been a pleasure to watch improve. And it's saying something. You know, we can say everything we want about him off the court and his character, but on the court, he's a hell of a player. I mean, he broke Rick Mount's scoring record for the most all-time points in school history, which has stood since 1970. He broke Joe Perry Carroll's Joe Perry Carroll's all-time career rebound record that stood the test of time since 1980. So he has them both now to his name, which is pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. All right. We got two more comments here from Dick. One says, thank you for defending Zach. Well, absolutely. That's what we're here for. And the other one, he said, who are your sleeper picks? Let's say 8 seed or lower in the tournament.
That's a good question. I haven't filled out a bracket yet.
I got a bracket in front of me, so that kind of helps
me. I'm looking at one right now. I guess when you say like sleeper, are we talking like when they can like get to the Sweet 16? Is that what we're talking? Or are you talking like Final Four? Because obviously that throws a wrench in there. Man, those are good questions. I think one that I'm toying with the idea is Nevada as a 10. Yeah. They got Dayton first. And they could play more like in Arizona. I mean, obviously Arizona is a really good team. Obviously, as Purdue knows, we've played them. Which is Cinderella to make an Elite Eight. Okay. That makes it a little interesting. But I mean, Nevada is a good team. Obviously, Steve Alford's the coach there. You know, they have Dayton. I can see them beating Arizona, and they'd probably play one of Baylor, Clemson, New Mexico, or Colgate. I guess we throw them in there. They might be one. Grand Canyon is a really interesting one. Was it Bryce Drew's over there?
Bryce Drew. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Ray, I'm not Michigan State.
Ray says Michigan State or Nevada. Nevada's a popular.
Actually,
New Mexico, New Mexico, I like that pick.
I'll go Big Ten. I'll go Nebraska. If they're on a heater.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know Houston's a little banged up. They're really good defensively, but if it's bombing away, I could see them. You know, they could play, you know, one of they obviously play Houston in the second round, and they would play one of Wisconsin, James Madison, Duke, or Vermont. Yeah, I like my boy Tominaga to go off. What about you, Tan?
No, I like that. And yeah, shout out to the Drew family up there in Valpo. Yeah, Bryce has done a real good job at Grand Canyon. No, I like New Mexico. Nevada's a good one too. There's so many teams I don't know a lot about. Oakland, sneaky good. I don't know if they can get past the 3-seeded Kentucky, but they're sneaky. They play a lot of top competition in the non-conference.
Yeah, one I hope does make the Elite Eight, because that means they would probably go through Purdue. But one is McNeese State.
Will Wade and McNeese State. Yeah.
Hell of a coach. They're beside the bracket. Same with ours. Got a little interesting because if they can get past Gonzaga, you assume Kansas can get past Samford. But now it's been announced that McCullough is out for the whole tournament. I mean, he's getting a lot of national hype. Yeah, it's the Will Wade scumminess. You know, if they play Kansas, you know, Kansas is not very deep. Actually, one thing that was brought up on One Shining Pod with Fraser, who I'm a big fan of, is that game, the Samford Kansas game, I think is played in Salt Lake, I think. And Samford.
Yes, Salt Lake City, yep.
Yeah, Samford presses the hell out of people, as we pretty found out first game of the season. And Kansas has no depth, even less so now. And that's high altitude. Could that really play an impact in that game? So we'll see.
I mean, yeah. I'll tell you a sexy pick for a lot of people is Oregon. I did watch them beat Colorado in the Big 12 tournament championship. I know they're getting more guys back healthy, but they're still an A-man rotation. I'm not buying into it. The Big Ten would love it. Trust me, the Big Ten would love it, even though they're not official members of the Big Ten yet. But one other I'll throw out there, Drake. I like them to beat 7-seed of Washington State. They can shoot at a high clip. They shot 61% from behind the arc when they knocked out Indiana State from the Missouri Valley Championship, which ultimately kept Indiana State out of the tournament, which we could go down that rabbit hole and try to say why they should be in over a few other teams that got in. But no, it's going to be fascinating. There's a lot of good matchups here. It's going to be an exciting tournament to watch for sure. 100%. For sure. But before, and we'll talk more brackets here in a second, but before we do that, Evan, I want your thoughts on Purdue showing in the Big Ten tournament. They squeaked by Michigan State in an interesting game and lost, I guess we can call it kind of a heartbreaker, even though a lot of people didn't care about the game. Heartbreaker by 1 point in overtime against Wisconsin, who would ultimately lose to Illinois Sunday in the Big Ten tournament championship. What were your takeaways from Purdue's performance?
Well, about died on Friday watching that game when
about threw up.
Yeah. Obviously when Braden went down, and then obviously the camera pans over him and he's holding his knee. I was watching with my two reps, my two employees. I'm glad I was able to compose myself, because I was had I been home, I probably would have been throwing stuff, because I was just like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, why are we what are we doing? Why now?
I can't say. Well, I could say what I said out loud, but I have to put the explicit rating on there, and I try to keep it clean on here. Because I was like, that's it, Purdue's cursed. It's just we're cursed. It's never supposed to happen.
Yeah. But going into that game, I mean, it's easy to say now when Purdue didn't win and all that, but I really didn't care a whole lot about the Big Ten tournament. I did, once I knew that we were playing Michigan State, I was like, okay, I don't want to lose to Michigan State, so get one. And then I was like, okay, we won the one after we got past it. I was like, okay, we got one, like, you know, I really don't care from here on out. And I was like, and I had to look at Greggard's stupid face on my TV on Saturday. But my biggest thing for that one was just like, all I care about was guys just coming out healthy. At the end when Purdue was up two, right before they gave up the layup that sent to overtime, I was just like, I was hoping they would take a three, just like end it one way, like either Purdue wins or you win it. Like, I don't want 5 more minutes of you know, this football match in overtime. I just want to get out of the hell out of there and get these guys rested up. I mean, the Wisconsin game was, you know, what we've seen the other three losses prior was just turnovers, untimely turnovers. And there was that stretch in the second half. Wisconsin couldn't score, but Purdue just couldn't hold on to the ball. And I don't know if that was, you know, them. I don't know if they were a little kind of like maybe like because again, they didn't want to get hurt after what they saw with Braden, which Braden seemed to play, you know, pretty decently, and obviously looked a lot better than the second thing when he came back against Michigan State. But
I think he had another gear to him, but he didn't want to kick it in because it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't skying for rebounds like we normally see him do, things like that. So I think it was definitely like they just didn't seem like sharp, which obviously hopefully, you know, they can turn that back on for the tournament. As we kind of talked
about. Doesn't help when the soon-to-be reigning defending national player of the year got 2 fouls within 3 minutes.
Yeah, so when that happened, I was like, okay, like, I mean, I was afraid that Wisconsin might run away with it, but Purdue was able to obviously keep it close, which is good. But then you also look at, you know, if Zach didn't get that technical foul, like, could Purdue be up, you know, 6 to 10 points versus, you know, tied at halftime or whatever it was? That could have been different to the game. Obviously, then getting other fouls accumulated on other guys prior to them filling out in the second half. But I mean, I thought it was, you know, Purdue shot poorly in the first half. Then they came out and, you know, kind of water found its level in the second half. So that was good to see. But at the end of the day, like I said, like, it was over. It sucked to lose and to lose to Wisconsin. But the guys, you know, as long as the guys came out healthy, you know, they got, you know, almost a week to get rested because we knew Purdue was probably going to be in the Midwest, which was going to be in Indy, which was going to be the Friday, Sunday slate already. We knew that going in. So it's like, hey, they'll get almost a week off, get the guys healthy, get the guys rested. And then it's, I mean, for this team, as they've shown all season, whenever they take a loss, they usually kind of, it kind of refocuses them and kind of, so hopefully that's the case. And they come out and just bludgeon the 16 seed because Lordy, if it's like a close game, even like 10 minutes in, it's fun.
I think they'll come out focused, and I mean you know, we've said in it as fans and have heard from other fans and got made fun of by other fans for a year. How do you think the players and the coaches have felt and received it for a year? I mean, absolutely. Dick here on YouTube said Brandon Newman will be playing 5 hours before Purdue and Indy. Will West Kentucky fans stay and support Purdue? Obviously Purdue fans will arrive early and cheer on Brandon.
No, they will not. I think, I mean, it just as it is with tournaments, you know, the underdog is going to get the other fans. Like, it's just how it's always been.
Especially if it's close.
I mean, I think in the first sessions. Yeah, especially if it's close. Yeah, that's when things can turn, which thankfully it's in Indy, so Purdue fans should show out. If you can make it, please go. I'm not able to go, at least on Friday. But me if you're neither. Here, turn it like it was for the Indy Classic. That was, you know, Mackey South, essentially. So hopefully that it will be less of an issue as it would be another if we were in other sites. But I don't think I would not expect Wisconsin fans to help us out at all. I think see when you're the top dog, especially the one seed, but even like just the better seed, you're always fighting the opposing team you're playing, but also the crowd of everybody else who's there. If it's a tight game, they're going to be cheering for the underdog just because that's what March is all about.
Saw it Friday and Saturday, Big Ten tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of Wisconsin. Wisconsin had the most fans there of anybody, anyways, yeah. I think it sounded like at least. But also Friday and Saturday, when it was tight against Michigan State and Wisconsin, the other opposing fan bases were cheering for them as well. Because once again, Purdue fatigue. Mm-hmm. And I've been there. I've been to Big Ten tournaments rooting against the one seeds. So
100%.
I get it. It's part of sports. So. But overall, what do you think about Purdue's? And I hate even bringing this up. This is such a podcast conversation. But what do you think of Purdue's draw? Because everybody's easy draw, hard draw. You still got to go out and win games. It doesn't matter, really. Yeah. Everybody. Most teams are in the tournament for a reason. Most.
Yeah. And it's probably just because of what happened last year. But literally, like when it came out, like you know, I was like, as it comes out, you know, as I've always joked, you know, whenever the bracket comes out is when I immediately just start throwing up because I'm just so nervous. But like, usually it's about, you know, our draw, potential draw, whatever it is. But this year I was just like, I don't care. Just go do it. Like, it's like we've had things break for us. We've had things not break for us. Like, just go out and win the damn thing. I mean, I think like, yes, being podcasted here, I think Purdue's got a great draw. looking at it, obviously winner of, you know, assuming Purdue takes care of business on Friday, winner of Utah State, TCU. Interesting matchups there. I think, I don't know if I might go with Utah State over TCU just because I think TCU is more of a up in your face, high pressure, creates a lot of turnovers, which obviously has been Purdue's kryptonite. Those are the kind of types of teams I hope Purdue can avoid. Even like I think Grambling State does a pretty good job of that. So it's like, you know, play the teams that don't make you turn the ball over a whole lot. So if Purdue doesn't turn the ball over, you know, it produced fine. I think Boyle Sports has said this. I was talking to my dad about this, but I was like, really the only like people like, you know, like, hey, like who are you worried about in your bracket? People are asking me that. It's like, if I'm being honest, the only team I'm really worried about in Purdue's bracket is Purdue. The only team that's gonna beat Purdue is Purdue right now, in my opinion. I mean, I think we got one of the weaker four seeds with Kansas, as we just saw today. I knew Tennessee was gonna be our two seed. They're the highest two seed, so that sucks, but I knew that was gonna happen because we can't avoid each other. Creighton, I think, is a great three in terms of like they're a great team. I like Purdue's matchup though with them. You know, they got Ryan Kalkbrenner, which it'd be pretty poetic if we can go up against them. We'd meet in the Elite Eight. So obviously, if we're playing Creighton, I'll take it because we're playing for a spot in the Final Four. But with Purdue recruiting Kalkbrenner not getting, which resulted in Purdue getting Zach Edey, it would just be, I mean, the stories write themselves. Doug McDermott or Craig McDermott, wow, whew, great coach. Gonzaga is a five. Purdue's already beaten Gonzaga. It's obviously one of the weaker Gonzaga teams in Mark Few's tenure, especially in the last probably 10 years easily. So especially when you look at like UConn, who's the number one overall seed, they got a freaking tough bracket on their end. I think the selection committee was pretty nice to Purdue. I'll take it. But yep. At the end of the day, it's just win. Yep, just win,
just
baby.
Just focus on Montana State or Grambling, and which I don't know a ton about either team, but Grambling's never made the NCAA tournament before. This is their first time. Montana State, I know, has played some big boys earlier in the season. Didn't beat any of them, but still just playing and getting that experience helps, especially for this time in March. So just take it one game at a time. And I know the guys know that. But as far as the location, we might never get this again. Indianapolis into Detroit. That might never happen again. It reminds me of 2005 Illinois. They went Indianapolis to Chicago to St. Louis. Now the Final Four is in Phoenix, but that was the most unbelievable route I've ever seen was Illinois in 2005. As far as location and seating, everything kind of broke Purdue's way. So now they just got to go out there and handle their business. And it would be fitting. I mean, Kansas, you know, they would have to make the Sweet 16, so would Purdue to match up. But Kansas is a team, you know, I know Purdue beat them with Glenn Robinson in the NCAA tournament in 94, but we've seen Purdue lose to them in 2012 and 2018. So,
17. It'd be nice. 18. You're right.
18 for the tournament, 17-18 season.
It was 17 because it was Biggie's last year. 16-17.
You're right. Yeah, we lost the Texas Tech. You're right. So to have to get by Kansas would be pretty fitting. And I think, of course, for Purdue to make a Final Four, they have to get past their Detroit demons, as I'll call them. That Detroit, City of Detroit, has not been nice to Purdue historically in NCAA tournaments. Even though Purdue got to the Sweet 16 through Detroit in 2018, they lost Isaac Haas in the process of doing so against Cal State Fullerton in the first round when he broke his elbow. Then with the three amigos in the late 80s, Kansas State and Mitch Richmond, a team that Purdue handled easily earlier in the year, end up upsetting. Mitch Richmond torched Purdue and end up upsetting Purdue in Detroit. So I know I don't have to remind too many Purdue fans, especially the older ones, of that, but it would be just the storylines are there for this to happen. And I'll be honest, I got Purdue over Creighton in the Elite Eight. You just talked about the Creighton, how that would come for a full circle. And in my championship, I have us winning all, why not? You know, just why not? Why not? We can do it. This is the most NCAA tournament equipped team for success I think you and I have seen in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my earliest memory of Purdue basketball was the 2000 team that lost to Wisconsin in Elite Eight. I mean, we've seen some good ones. We've been lucky enough to see some very good ones, but I think this one's mm-hmm. better than all the rest. So I have Purdue beating Baylor in the national title. And that'd be a fun storyline, too, with Zach almost committing to Baylor, but mm-hmm. then committing to Purdue. So, and Baylor's one of those teams, I feel like they're a good three seed. Their head coach has won a national title. He's experienced, but they're not getting a lot of talk.
No, they're not.
For some reason. So they're kind of flying under the radar coming into this tournament. So.
Yeah. Them being in the Big 12, you know, obviously Houston mm-hmm. with winning it. Iowa State has come on strong with winning their tournament. So yeah, they've kind of, and then obviously Kansas has been Kansas all year. Right. So they've kind of been playing, you know, kind of fourth fiddle, I feel like, just mm-hmm. especially recently. So yeah, I mean, obviously, you got a coach who can do it and is proven to do it. And they play physical, they play defense. But yeah, that'd be, I mean, yeah. Because people like, you know, people like, oh, I'm not sure if I want to play UConn. Or it's like, if we play UConn, means we're playing the national championship. I will take that every day and twice on Sunday. Yep. Like, give me that opportunity. I want the opportunity so badly to cheer for Purdue national championship. Yep.
And I won't bore everybody with my my whole bracket, but here's my Elite Eight. I have Auburn over Iowa State. Yes, I do not have UConn making it to the Elite Eight. I have Auburn. I'm not a Bruce Pearl fan, but I think this Auburn team is very, very good. I have Baylor over North Carolina. Then I have Baylor over Auburn. I have Houston over Marquette and Purdue over Creighton and Purdue over Houston. So went a little chalky, but yet a few threes and fours in there. So how about you, Webby? What would your Elite Eight be?
Oh gosh, this one is
putting you on the spot. Putting you on the spot.
Man, I think I probably will do like a UConn Iowa State chalk as much as I hate doing that. I'm gonna go for the West bracket. I really do like North Carolina, but I think I'm gonna do North Carolina and Baylor like that. Purdue and Creighton, I like that, and then. See, Houston, I'm not sure about Houston.
I don't know where the head's going to be after that performance the other day.
Yeah. I'll probably do Houston and Kentucky. I see the problem with Kentucky is they don't play a lick of defense, but man, can they score?
Yeah.
As they can just shoot you out of the gym. That could be a fun game to see, you know, what, you know, defense versus offense, like what gives out.
Absolutely. Then who would your final four be in your national title?
I've got Purdue versus I'll do Purdue, Kentucky, Iowa State, and North Carolina. And then I've got Purdue over North Carolina. Just so we can see Baycott and Edie one more time.
That would be fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
Because again, another storyline. Edie played behind him in high school.
yeah. Why not? Just give you all the storylines. Ray Davis here on Facebook. Are the Drew brothers the only brothers as head coaches to make the NCAA tournament at the same time?
Good question. Have the Hurley brothers done it?
I thought the Hurley brothers had done it when he was at Rhode Island.
Oh, okay. I forgot he was at Rhode Island.
And where was... Yeah, Rhode Island and... Buffalo, maybe? I don't know. I want to say they've done it, but I mean, that's a great question.
The Miller brothers, when Archie was at Dayton.
I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google it real quick, but I'm sure they have.
I'm trying to think who else, at least in our lifetime. I'm trying to think like some of the greats, if they would have had any brothers. I can't think of anything, but I have to guess the Miller brothers did it for sure. Especially when Archie made the Elite Eight. I feel like Sean had to have made it.
Yeah.
Because he was at Xavier. Of course. He was at Xavier before he went to Arizona, right? Then he came, he's back at Xavier. Or am I making that up?
Yep. Okay. Nope. You're right. Of course, I'm not finding it right on Google when I look it up. I'm sure there's others out there I'm not thinking of right now. That's a great question. Yeah. I love getting questions I don't know the answers to, because I will look it up and remind me of that next week, Webby, and I'll give everybody an answer.
Sure, Dad knows.
He probably does. I doubt he's tuning in right now. I think he's on the road right now. But yeah, no, it's how about a little off Purdue topic, but how about looking at the other Big Ten teams? Do you see any other Big Ten teams making a deep run in March?
Unfortunately, I see Illinois having a shot to do it, especially since they've been playing the way they've been playing on offense. Their defense is a little suspect. So you wonder, you know, how locked in can they be, especially if they play a team like Iowa State, which they'd be playing them in the Sweet 16, which they'll take that since they haven't been in the Sweet 16 since 05. You like Northwestern, you'd like to think just with Bubui, you know, being who he is and just being an absolute powder keg of scoring sometimes, but without Ty Berry, you wonder how long they can last. Same with Nebraska. I mean, I hope to God they can get past Texas A&M. I'm going to be picking them to get past Texas A&M because I think it'd be fun to watch them bomb away at Houston. Screw Wisconsin. I think I'm going to pick James Madison over them. I'll probably pick Michigan State, beat Mississippi State just because it's Izzo, but I don't see them getting past North Carolina. They just haven't been. I mean, you can say the same thing last year. They were pretty mediocre, then they went to the Sweet 16. So what the hell do I know? And then obviously, Purdue obviously remains is what it is. But the Howard Wagner game, it was like a 15-point game. Now it's a 3-point game with 50 seconds left.
That's life of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. What about you?
I have every Big Ten team winning at least one game. The only team I have making the Sweet 16 is Illinois. Gosh, I hope they get upset in the first round.
Yeah.
But, I think a lot of them are seated too high to make a run, but, we will see. I don't know. I'm not going Andy Cash love, but
you didn't have Iowa in your last four in.
No, I did not. But so I'm gonna let my dog out of the room real quick, Evan. So I wanna take over for a second.
Any notable games in the bracket? I mean, yeah, I feel like Purdue's Midwest bracket's got some storylines now with Kansas losing McCuller. You wonder how their depth's gonna be impacted there because they have no depth right now. There's obviously the question about Hunter Dickinson, who supposedly hurt his shoulder, and I've seen people say that what his shoulder injury is, like, there's no way he'll be close to even 80%, but we'll see. Tennessee, what there's a statistic that no team who has ever lost their first game in their conference tournament wins the national championship in Tennessee kind of got throttled in the SEC tournament, so you wonder where their head's going to be at. Actually, a funny storyline with them that I was they're playing St. Peter's, which Purdue, unfortunately, are all too familiar with. Zeke Ziegler, the point guard for Tennessee, his brother plays for St. Peter's, so you can't tell me that the NCAA doesn't love storylines, because if they win and Texas wins, Rick Barnes is playing against his old team. So it's just storyline after storyline after storyline. And, you know, what Ray says, I forgot to mention, the Midwest bracket is Maui 2.0, with Purdue, Tennessee, Kansas, and Gonzaga.
I'm still shocked that Purdue didn't have St. Peter's as a 16 seed, and then somebody with IU ties like Nevada as the 8-9.
Yeah. Would have been too easy.
One storyline I really wanted to see was I wanted to see Akron as the 14 against three-seeded Illinois. But
yep, John Gross. Yep.
Yep.
I guess, were there any teams, like maybe the 2 seed or maybe like a 4 or 5 that you're like, like when you saw them announced before Purdue, or even maybe like maybe not with Purdue, they're like, thank God, you know, like, I mean, I guess I talked about, we have our kind of said, like, just win. But there are any teams you're like, man, I hope we can avoid these teams.
Auburn. And I know we beat SEC teams. We beat Tennessee, but I don't know, something about Pearl and Auburn. Just, I just wanted to stay away from them. Kentucky. I know there are 3. That was one of mine. I just don't think that would have been a good matchup for Purdue. I mean, like you said, they can't play a lick of defense, but God, they can score. Mm-hmm. And they got some horses that could maybe get Edie in foul trouble.
Now my two were Iowa State and Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which again, like obviously it is a two-seed.
Which is funny though at Iowa State, Evan, because I know in our text chain of between you, me, and Andrew, we were just like a week or two saying, oh, I'd take Iowa State as a two-seed. Yeah. And then we saw it played a big 12 tournament. It's like, okay, maybe not.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah, but
it's always fun to see, like, I mean, storylines too. Like, you know, as of the last 3 years, the winner of the Big Ten tournament has not advanced past the first weekend. Last year, obviously, was Purdue. We year before that was Iowa, and the year before that was Illinois losing in the second round. So you wonder, like, with Illinois winning the Big Ten tournament, you know, where will they be next? It's always about, you know, rest and, you know, especially with Illinois. I mean, they played Sunday, now they got to play Thursday. So, yep. You know, one thing, if they're playing Friday, like Purdue did last year, but they're turning around and playing Thursday, they're going out east. Actually, I don't even know where this game's at.
Illinois game is in Omaha, Nebraska.
They're going west. So, I mean, it's not terribly far, I guess.
No. No, and Illinois fans are complaining that because it is nice if your team gets a Friday draw. So you can at least watch the whole day Thursday of just enjoying basketball, not mm-hmm. have to worry about it. But Illinois is smack dab in the middle of Thursday, and they're complaining because BYU, who they could play in the second round, they can't play on Sundays. So BYU's got to be slated in Thursday, Saturday.
Gotcha.
So they're complaining about that. But
they complain about everything. So
They do. They complain about everything. So is what it is. Is what it is. So, and not even talk about the NIT. More Big Ten teams than not declined to bid.
I was looking at the scores for that, and Ohio State's in a tight one with 3:25 to go. They're up by one over Cornell.
Well, in Ohio State, Diebler is their full-time head coach now, so they removed the interim tag. Kind of surprised me. I think he did a great job. Don't get me wrong, but they have the funds to. If anybody's got the funds to go get a big name coach, it's them.
And, right. That really surprised me because I was like. Again, it was a cool story. I was like, man, you know, he hasn't been a head coach, you know, aside from these games. Obviously, like, he didn't recruit. I mean, I'm sure he helped recruit these players, but he didn't, you know, these weren't his guys. So it's like, you know, you wonder how he does on the recruiting trail. Obviously, he's young, so that will probably help. But yeah, I thought it was a really head scratcher of a move just because, like, again, like you said, like, they could probably go get about, you know, at least talk to anybody of like, cause they've got, I've heard their facilities are incredible. Obviously the NIL, I feel like obviously football is the 100-pound, you know, 100,000-pound gorilla in the room, that's sucking up those funds, but still, I feel like they've got to be pretty good there. You know, it's a huge name, the school in Ohio. So like any Ohio kids you think would want to play there, but yeah, I was really surprised when it was announced that he was the head coach. I mean, I like the guy. I hope he does well for his sake. I have to think he's got a really short leash. Like, I mean, you wonder like if they, you know, have a similar year next year, does he, you know, do they just say, hey, we're going to buy you out for a couple mil. You're welcome. Go, you know, go coach Valpo if, you know, Powell doesn't work up there. Races because he brings a big time assistant. I mean, that could be, you know, is like an Indiana thing where they go out and get a Thodmata to help him at least like as a mentor or something. But we'll see. But yeah, I mean, it was a cool story. You hope it works out in his favor.
And then the Big Ten job that's vacant already is Michigan. They cut ties with Juwan Howard. I think it's the right move, but I was still surprised they did it.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't, I mean, They were so bad this year. So bad.
They were awful. They were not. Everything was trending in the wrong direction. Drama upon drama up there in Ann Arbor this year. I think they were just tired of it.
Yeah. I mean, again, another school that should be able to go get whoever they want with the big name. I mean, it's just crazy what, you know, I mean, 10 years ago with Beeline, just like they were, I mean, they ran the Big Ten.
That's true.
I mean, it ran through Michigan, the state of Michigan, because it was Michigan State a lot. Yeah. But man, just what a fall from grace. I mean, he was Big Ten Coach of the Year a couple years ago. They won the Big Ten during the COVID year. Just wild. But then you think one name that was floating around, just I think he's from Michigan, was, you know, Nate Oates, but then he got an extension, which I assume means his bio is probably a little bit bigger now. So you wonder who they're going to, you know, go after. And obviously, you know, Louisville's open. That's probably the biggest job open. Races. Hope this is referring to Diebler. Hope he keeps Coach Owens on staff. I do too. Shout out to Coach Owens. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's always fun when, especially in the basketball, because we never really had to worry about it, but just the coaching carousel, it's kind of fun to watch. It's probably not as carnival-y as football season can be, but it's still always fun when you're not involved.
Yeah, the domino effect's more prevalent in football, I would say, than basketball.
100%.
But yeah, man.
A lot more money involved.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Any other thoughts? On just going into, I know we're anxious, like,
yeah,
but yeah. I mean, how we feel? Are you more confident in this Purdue team than any previous Purdue team?
I am, yeah. I mean, in deep down, yes, I am. I mean, I feel like if there's ever a Purdue team to go out there and just absolutely sucker punch the inferior team in the mouth, it's this team. You know, we saw it consistently in the non-con, you know, whenever Purdue played a bad team, quote unquote bad team, they took care of business. I mean, they beat Morgan, who I am flirting with picking against Illinois. They beat them by 30. They beat Samford by 50. Again, these aren't at Mackey, but it's pretty close with being in Indianapolis. So hopefully it has that Mackey effect. I hope, and as someone, I think it was Brothers and Sam was talking about, like, you know, Purdue's game, and usually 116s are on like mill because no one really cares about them because it's a 1-16. We know how that's going to end, but because of what happened with Purdue last year, they're playing at 7:30 on a Friday. It's a prime time, probably the most watched 116 game probably in recent memory, just because of what happened last year. And I think it was Craig Bauer said, like, he hopes that this is a game that 5 minutes into it, everyone's turning it off. It's like, okay, Purdue's up 20. Like, just, you know, it's, we're not getting what we want as, you know, teams of, you know, fans of anti-Purdue. So I'm hoping that by like 10 minutes to go in the first half, I'm like, okay, I can relax because Purdue's up 15, 20 points. Like, so I know they can do it. I'm confident they can do it. But man, I'm just like, there's just that thought in the back of my head of like, man, if it's like a 5-point game, I'm going to be, I'm not going to be able to handle myself.
I tell myself they've already hurt me more than they ever can. Last year, I mean,
all year, but then as it's gotten closer, I'm like, man, this would be way worse.
I did jokingly tell my wife the other day, I'm like, if Purdue loses to 16, I might just be done watching college basketball forever. She's like, no, you wouldn't. I'm like, you're right, I wouldn't.
Right.
I'm like, I just wouldn't care anymore. She's like, yeah, you would. I'm like, you're right, but what. I mean, part of my soul, though, would be just dead. Like, I would try not to get my hopes up ever again. I don't know what I would do. I don't even want to think about it. Don't even want to think about it. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Not happening. Yep. I think the difference in this Purdue team, why I'm so much more confident this year than last year, even though I was confident last year, even though they were kind of stumbling into the tournament, Zach's got four guys around him that no matter the lineup, they're not, well, unless Ethan Morton's in there. No offense, Ethan. They got four other guys in there that aren't scared to take the shot.
100%.
And you know, Gillis last year, we saw him pump fake against FDU. He's going to take that shot this year. Lance Jones has no conscience. Braden will hit the big shot. Fletcher will hit the big shot. And if Montana State or Grambling defend Purdue like FDU did last year, if Purdue shoots at the clip they're capable of, since they're one of the top 3-point percentage teams in the nation, Purdue can bury him. It's absolutely bury him.
I didn't go back. Even if Purdue in that FDU game, like, as much as we don't talk about, if Purdue shot there, I mean, Purdue was a bad 3-point shooting team. I think you were around 32%. If they shot that percentage in that game, Purdue probably wins that game. It'd have been really close, but we wouldn't be talking about it right now. So it's just like, hit your average, which Purdue right hovering around like 40%. I feel like, you know, as long as Purdue's not taking, you know, it doesn't go 2-for-5 from three. I like their chances if they're, you know, if they shoot 40% from on a high clip. Really, the only thing that gives me like worry is just obviously turnovers. That's what it is. But as Purdue has shown, they can survive bad shooting nights if they don't turn the ball over. So even if like Purdue's not hitting like we want them to, just don't turn the ball over an excessive amount. Don't give up fast break points. Don't give up second chance points. And then is like Lance Jones getting a little overzealous, as Andrew put in our group chat, of like, this will be his first NCAA tournament. You know, the jitters are going to be there. I'm expecting him to come out, you know, a little tight just because he's excited, which who wouldn't be? So hopefully he'll get settled in, which obviously the other guys will be there to settle him in. But hopefully he can just kind of keep himself composed as we move throughout the tourney.
Yep. Take care of the ball. Make your free throws. good things will happen all tournament long.
Yep.
All tournament long.
It's just crazy that it's here, because it's kind of like, again, like what, you know, a lot of fans have been waiting for all year. I'm glad I wasn't one of those fans that wished away the season and said, we'll see, you know, talk to me in March, because it's been such a fun season. It's always like, you know, whenever I love and hate this time of year, because it's obviously it's so exciting. You know, the end is right there. It could be, you know, just on the wrong night it ends, and then we never see this exact team ever again. And that really, really sucks, because this has been such a fun to cheer for and watch.
And you've been preaching that all year long. So you've been good about that. So you've kept me focused on that, on the big picture. I appreciate that, because I can get lost in that. I've got lost in that before in seasons, and not this year. Tried to take in every good moment and even bad moment along the way, which thankfully there wasn't too many this year. Ray here on Facebook says, I think our bench can get us the first couple of games. Yeah, the depth is real in March Madness.
Yeah, as we even saw with like Colvin, you know, we saw him get extended run in the first Big Ten term, which is awesome to see. Like, you know, you wonder, was that because of just circumstance, because of, you know, Zach and, you know, Braden, or was it Painter just saying like, hey, let's just see what you got, you know, young kid, you know, tournament style setting, you know, win or go home in that scenario. Like, when, as we saw, like he had some awesome plays. Obviously, still things to work. He's a freshman, you know, who hasn't played a whole lot, so hopefully, it'd be cool to see if he can have a cool moment or two in the tournament as we make our run.
Absolutely. Well, one company we want to thank is Autograph, which helps make this podcast possible. Weather Breakdown is brought to you by Autograph. Download the free app today in the App Store and use code BREAK. If you don't know much about Autograph, tune in. I'm going to let you know here. We're excited to be working with Autograph. It's co-founded by Tom Brady himself, one of the best to ever do it at the quarterback position, maybe the best of all time. Mm-hmm. Now, just ask me day to day. Maybe my opinion changes now. if push comes shove, I'm not a Tom Brady fan, but he is the greatest of all time, in my opinion. The Autograph app is where your fandom lives. The app gives diehard fans like Evan, myself, Andrew, like you, access to all the best college sports content, fan challenges, and exclusive rewards like crazy discounted tickets, exclusive merchandise, and more. You can unlock rewards like these just for doing the things you already do as a fan, like listening to this podcast right here, listening to the Boiler Breakdown podcast, following news on your team, sharing your favorite content, and more. You can download the free Autograph app in the App Store, Apple App Store, or Google Play Store, and use the referral code BREAK. That's referral code BREAK, all lowercase, BREAK. See you at the game. And I don't know about you, Webby, but I'm probably going to be ordering some pizza Friday night.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I
mean, you can never go wrong with pizza, especially when it's from Mad Mushroom. Mad Mushroom's been serving Boilermakers since 1993, located in the heart of West Lafayette and known as the home of the original cheese sticks. But whenever Evan, Andrew, or myself visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out the latest pizza of the month, which the pizza of the month for March, for your March Madness pleasure, is the Chicken Caprese. It's a blended tomato sauce, chicken, chopped garlic, fresh spinach, grated Parmesan cheese, mozzarella cheese, and fresh mozzarella pearls, finished with basil and a balsamic glaze drizzle, for starting at the price of $14. And yeah, next time you're in town, stop in and tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. Any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can use the coupon code BREAK5, that's all caps, BREAK5, to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. That's Mad Mushroom, feed your head. So go get some grinders, wings, pizza, cheese sticks. No beer if you're driving, if you're getting it for carry out. But if you're eating in, make sure to get some beer as well. Can't go wrong with anything you get from Mad Mushroom. And we appreciate them sponsoring the podcast all year long. And the last sponsor we have to thank is The Shop.
Yeah, Shop's been bringing hometown apparel to the fans since 2011. Started out in a garage, is now blossomed into three brick and mortar locations around the Indianapolis area, plus an online presence at theshopindy.com. If you're in town, if you're coming to the game on Friday, get here early. Or if you're going to Friday and Sunday, because we're going to win on Friday, stop in one of the locations. You've got the one in Carmel. You you've got the one in Broad Ripple, and you've got their new location downtown. So if you're going to Gainbridge Fieldhouse, stop at the one downtown, check it out. Our promo code does not work in store, but you should go there anyways and check out, because they've got awesome stuff. I'm wearing the Drum Scripts sweatshirt. Tanner's got on an awesome Pete hat. I've got my Pete beverage glass. Put your favorite beverage in there. I mean, it's great. If you're going to shop online, use the shopindy.com. Use promo code breakdown for 25% off your first order.
You won't be disappointed.
Absolutely not.
Apparel is so comfortable. So comfortable. You can wear it every day. I won't judge you. Neither will Evan. Neither will anybody from the Boiler Breakdown. Thank you to everybody who has been tuning in with us. This is our record viewers live. So really appreciate it. Please, if you haven't done so already, like us on all of our social media channels. Give us a follow. Give us a subscribe on YouTube. Give us that rating and review on your favorite audio podcast platform. And subscribe to our podcast there as well if you haven't already. And Evan and I will be back next week, where we are hopefully talking about Purdue's future Sweet 16 matchup in Detroit. But Evan, let's just go do the damn thing. Let's boiler up, hammer down, and beat either the Bobcats or the Tigers, and then either the Aggies, couldn't think what they were called, or the Horned Frogs.
Boiler up, and shout out to Zach Edey for once again being unanimous first team All-American for the AP.
Big Maple, baby.